Psalm 145:21 says, "My mouth shall speak the praise of the Lord, and let all flesh bless his holy name forever and ever." Among the numerous arguments for the existence of God, one is referred to as the ontological argument. Without getting into the weeds with too many definitions and qualifications, we can sum up the ontological argument as an argument for God's existence based on the very concept of God. In other words, the concept of a perfect being who is God implies that such a God exists. And by referring to, speaking of, and debating about God, we are establishing the reality of his existence. God's existence is implied by the concept of the perfect God as revealed in the Holy Bible. When we speak of God, we cannot but speak of a being who exists. To say that God does not exist is a contradiction itself. It is literally to speak nonsense. Believers talk about God. We do so because he is the most important person in our lives. He is the most important person in existence. He is the source of all existence. But why do unbelievers, and specifically atheists, talk about God? Have you ever thought about that? Skeptics and atheists talk about God more than many believers do. Yet they claim that they do not believe in his existence. Many atheists and agnostics spend a good amount of time trying to prove that a being that they supposedly don't believe even exists, well, doesn't exist. And that's the basic idea behind the ontological argument. To speak of God as a perfect being implies that he does exist. It is to admit his existence. So to speak of God and then deny his existence is a contradiction. I've heard atheists say, "I hate God." That's the bottom line to this ontological argument. How can you hate God if he doesn't exist? I remember in a conversation I had with my wife before we were married, we were talking about our attempts to witness and specifically to some atheists that we knew. She told me about her attempt to witness to an atheist neighbor, and after he rejected her attempts to present her case, she told him that she would pray for him. This professing atheist replied by saying, "Don't pray for me. I don't want God bothering me." That man is a walking, talking, living example of the point of the ontological argument. You can't say that you don't want someone to bother you if you don't really believe they exist. But what is behind all this? Why would someone speak of God while claiming that he doesn't exist? Well, over the years I've heard a few honest atheists and agnostics admit what is behind all this. And I just happened to be reading a book by an author named J.P. Moreland titled The God Question, in which he quotes one such atheist named Thomas Nagel in a 2001 book that Nagel wrote called The Last Word. He said the following, quote, "I want atheism to be true and am made uneasy by the fact that some of the most intelligent and well-informed people I know are religious believers. It isn't just that I don't believe in God, and naturally I hope that I'm right in my belief. It's that I hope there is no God. I don't want there to be a God. I don't want the universe to be like that." End quote. I pray Mr. Nagel abandons this desire, but that is why we are told to call on men to repent. Mr. Nagel understands the gospel of Jesus Christ and understands the evidence for the existence of the God of the Bible, but he doesn't want to believe. But he's an example of the consequences of rejecting the ontological argument. The biblical God is. He exists. And every man or woman will stand before him on Judgment Day and admit that every time they spoke of him, they admitted his existence and knew that they were speaking of a very real being, and that the only reason they persisted in rejecting Jesus Christ and the gospel of the grace of God was because they love their sin. Jesus says so. In John 3:19, he said, "And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil."